just announced they're adding another $600 million in expenditures. And we estimate that somewhere around a $6 billion asset, which is literally land connected to our strike extension of their deposits. So for drilling, we're permitted. We're ready to go. We secured all of that very early on. In North America and other jurisdictions, of course, you can have an asset. Heck, Nevada, which is considered the preeminent gold belt, probably globally now, the Carlin Trend and the Cortez Complex for Barrick. It's great. You can pick up tenement there, but you're going to be 3 years in the process of a plan of operation just to drill. So yeah, Botswana, we're geared up. We're ready to go. Really. What makes it, is the excitement leading up to this. Like, we are ready to go. We've secured a drill contract. We've completed a whole multitude of geophysics leading up to this. So we are target ready. We're not going in there with some kind of wildcat exploration. We have very well established target areas. We have about 24 kilometers of strike and counting, which is huge. I mean, these deposits, they lie all along this domal structure that we own. In fact, if I just show you really quickly, I'll share
Yeah, please.
an image with you. This is that kind of mineralized corridor that hosts all of the MMG deposits. MMG's land holdings are in pink here.
Good day, everybody. It's just Steve Yang here with Natural Resource Stocks. I am joined today by CEO of Leviathan Metals, Luke Norman. How are you, my friend?
I'm well, Steve. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Luke, I'm excited about the Atlanta conference. For people who don't know your story, love to start off by just kind of asking you to share your website, your ticker, where you're trading.
Course. So we're trading on the TSX Venture. Our trading symbol is LVX for Leviathan, of course. And our website, of course, is leviathanmetals.com.
Awesome. Well, Luke, if you can just kind of give us the 50,000-foot view of what Leviathan's all about. Where are you guys? What stage you're in? Why are you guys relevant?
Absolutely. Okay, so about 5 years ago, my chief operating officer and business partner, Jeremy Crozier, and I put our heads together, and we were very, very intrigued with what we saw as a burgeoning copper market. We wanted to have tier one assets. We are explorers by nature. Whilst I do have a development company in the gold sector, I love copper. I love the exploration cycle and phase in this industry. So we set out again 5 years ago looking for a really strong portfolio. That led us about 18 months ago to a very big project endowment throughout the Kalahari Copper Belt in Botswana, which is a burgeoning, very strong copper belt. Large operators already there in country, a very, very good user-friendly, mining-friendly jurisdiction, of course, Botswana, the friendliest in Africa. And then just to add to our quiver of excitement, we also have a very strong polymetallic portfolio in Bosnia-Herzegovina. We're actually a first mover into a jurisdiction that has brand new mining law, brand new mining license. So quite the portfolio.
So, do you also have property in Australia?
We do legacy gold assets in Australia. We are in the process of actually doing some of the final farm out of those assets, because we are most definitely now a copper-centric with silver-focused company, and in the European and African kind of time zone.
So in Botswana, let's start with just kind of your flagship. If you can tell me about your main asset there, what do you think you have? How much do you have there, and where are you in terms of studies and discovery? How developed is it?
Certainly. So all along the Kalahari Copper Belt, we have somewhere in the region of about 8,000 square kilometers of copper tenure. But our flagship asset is called Central, and it is right adjacent to a very big copper endowment owned by MMG Mining, which is a publicly listed Chinese conglomerate who have one of the lowest cost producing copper assets on the planet, called Khoemacau. And we have a large block of tenement, somewhere in the region of about 300 square kilometers, which is a on-strike extension of their known mineralization. So they have around 450 million tons in total of 1.8% copper. They recently purchased that project, well, recently, I say in the last 2 years, for about $1.9 billion. They've sunk another 700 million into it. They've just announced they're adding another 600 million in expenditures. And we estimate that somewhere around a $6 billion asset, which is literally land connected to our strike extension of their deposits.
So for Botswana, you mentioned it's in among Africa one of the friendliest, if not the friendliest, jurisdiction.
Yes.
If you can tell me about what makes it friendly and how have you seen that, and if you can tell me about the security and any concerns that you might see there.
Yeah, of course. So very early on, De Beers made some very big acquisitions and discoveries in the diamond sector. So De Beers got involved with helping form mining law, and the government there has always been known as a very proactive government. So De Beers obviously having multi-billion dollar assets within country led to some securing of safety within that jurisdiction from a mining perspective. De Beers are a huge, the player in the diamond sector. So that's led to very established, well ahead to laws. Since then, there's huge amounts of coal, etc., in country. So they have coal, not De Beers, of course, but within the country of Botswana, there's coal mining operations that feed huge electrical plants that are feeding power down into South Africa and northwards and eastwards. They've got a really good handle on their resource endowment, their resource riches. And as such, it is now considered or very much deemed the safest mining jurisdiction in Africa. And if you compare it into South Africa, where there's still a bit of geopolitical turmoil, there's just no comparison. It's a very friendly country. Before, Stephen, we even entered into an arrangement to acquire these projects, I made a point of flying down there. I'll never invest in a country that I've not visited and seen firsthand. We visited the projects. We visited some of the the mining governmental people that are there, and it's a remarkably great country in terms of friendliness and business acumen.
How's your connection and relationship there?
Very well established. We have a lot of in-country social license type individuals who are working with us. Plus, we're working with people from the geological side of things, both in-country and expats who were part of the discovery of this entire mineral belt from a copper extraction perspective. So we have very good outreach in-country. And I find that's probably as important as having good tenements, is having the right people and the right social outreach.
Absolutely. Luke, what's the process for permitting look like? Is it difficult to
We are
get?
permitted. So for drilling, we are permitted. We're ready to go. We secured all of that very early on. We don't, in North America and other jurisdictions, of course, you can have an asset. Heck, Nevada, which is considered the preeminent gold belt, probably globally now, the Carlin Trend and the Cortez Complex for Barrick, it's great. You can pick up tenement there, but you're going to be 3 years in the process of a plan of operation just to drill. So yeah, Botswana, we're geared up. We're ready to go.
So, how long does it usually take? 3 years, you said?
Well,
Just to
I
drill?
was using an equivalent into North America. No, in
I see.
Botswana, it's a multi-month process. It is a just as arduous. You have to prove that you're not going to upset the environment. You check with your neighboring farmers, etc., to ensure that they're on side with what you're going ahead and doing, executing. But we've gone through all of that process. So yeah, we are permitted to drill.
Can you tell me about who else is there, neighboring mines or peers that you have that are maybe good comps to look at?
Well, other than the standout, of course, as I mentioned, MMG Mining, which is a publicly listed Chinese company, Sandfire are in country. There's a lot of majors that are in country, and a lot of people still trying to secure land holdings within that copper belt. There are several juniors who are now established and advancing projects. I just off cuff, I can't list them off, but I'd be sure to share them with everyone when we get to the conference next month. Yes.
Yeah, I want to talk about the market cap. Where are you guys trading, and where do you think is the biggest disconnect right now, looking at the company?
I don't think there's a disconnect. In fact, I think we're trading quite, at a reasonable share value. We have 98 million shares outstanding. We're trading somewhere in the 50 cent range. In that sort of 50 to $60 million market cap, Canadian. I think that's a fair representation of the projects that we have. But given that we're about to commence drilling at, in particular at Central. That's going to be a very fast moving kind of a variable, the valuation on this company. I think proof of concept, proof of mineralization, proof of the extension of the mineral system that exists just to our north, as I said, this multi-billion dollar mining operation is going to have a huge effect on us from a share price and ultimately market capitalization perspective.
So Botswana is landlocked, is that correct? Can
Correct.
you tell me about access to water and the access to roads and kind of the infrastructure you have in place?
Yeah, there's ample subterranean water. We have a tremendous road system, road network. We drive right onto the project through well-established, not fully paved, but well-established haul roads and roads that are used for access to between town and also access to the large farms and ranches that surround us. So we're infrastructure-wise, tremendous power nearby. Of course, MMG in production with power right to their site. And again, they share a boundary with us. So, yeah, tremendous infrastructure. Whether you would want to compare it to Africa or North America, we sit very well.
So in terms of the Lassonde curve, it seems like you guys are just right there, ready to launch up. Can you tell us a little bit about the kind of the timeline, a little bit more, just the milestones you have, and just kind of what makes Leviathan an attractive company right now for investors?
Certainly. What makes it, is the excitement leading up to this. Like, we are ready to go. We've secured a drill contract. We've completed a whole multitude of geophysics leading up to this. So we are target ready. We're not going in there with some kind of wildcat exploration. We have very well established target areas. We have about 24 kilometers of strike and counting, which is huge. I mean, these deposits, they lie all along this domal structure that we own. In fact, if I just show you really quickly, I'll share
Yeah,
a
please.
an image with you. This is that kind of mineralized corridor that hosts all of the MMG deposits. MMG's land holdings are in pink here, and you can see the red outlines their major deposits. As I mentioned, upwards of 450 million tons. If you do the math on that, it's a massive. Massive endowment of copper, and that grades about 1.8% with multi-hundred gram silver as well alongside of it, and they're producing a concentrate, so it's a very low cost, underground mechanized mining combined with open pit mining. Mineralization is very shallow. Our blue property here that stands out here, this is the edge of the dome, so this is the 24 plus kilometers of structure. Again, 300 square kilometers approximately here in just this land tenement right now that we are adding to right as we speak. There was a press release out on us very recently that highlighted the fact that we're adding ground to this, which will extend our strike. But we have completed a lot of geophysics in this area where the dome kind of gets into this point. And we see repeat structures within that area. So huge amounts of discovery area.
Can you go to or show us your other projects that and kind of what drew you to the one in Australia and Bosnia and
Well, I'll shoot over, I'll shoot down to Bosnia real quick in the presentation. In Bosnia and Herzegovina, as I mentioned, we're a first mover up to our north in a whole different jurisdiction, of course, is the Adriatic discovery here. Marijevo, that is a massive polymetallic mine that Adriatic recently sold to Dundee Precious Metals. And on strike, we have this outside of Foča, we have a massive land holding that we have completed all sorts of trenching and sampling at surface. There is very high grade over widths of 40 meters of polymetallic, which indicates a system that's analogous to Marievo. So that came about by surprise. We really wanted to be a first mover and get in there and take a look, but what we've seen has been quite jaw-dropping. So rather than just focus now on Botswana, we are going to definitely get the drills turning here in Q2 in Bosnia as well, because we just feel that this is a company maker unto itself. And then the Australian assets, which I don't have in this presentation, as I said, we're in the middle of divestiture of that. However, we do have drills turning in Victoria, Australia right now, as we've got one very valuable land package that we feel some proof of concept with the drill is going to add additional value for a sizable farm out on it. So stand by for that. News will be pending in the coming weeks and maybe a month or so.
Awesome. Luke, I want to transition to the balance and runway that you have, as well as the share structure. Let's start with how much cash you have and how far that takes you.
Certainly. So right now we're a little light on treasury. We have just completed, we're under $3 million now. We have again completed all sorts of works at both projects, as well as currently drilling in Australia. So discussion has been had as to how strategically we advance into the drill program that we intend. We intend to commence 10,000 meters early May at our flagship, of course, down in Botswana at Central. Keep in mind, 10,000 meters is a huge amount of drilling for a project like this, because the shallowness of the mineralized horizon that we're shooting for. So we're looking at a depth of around 40 to 50 meters only. So a 10,000 meter drill program will result in about 40 to 50 pierce points. And the budget for that is around $5 million Canadian. And that's being generous. We've got drill contracts secured. We understand the mechanisms of getting, obviously, our recovered material into assay labs, assaying, and ultimately, through the discovery process. So it's not an onerous undertaking by any stretch of the imagination. How we fund it is we have already a very, very strong shareholder base, including, Michael Gentile and his investor group, along with, I've been 25 plus years established in this sector. So I have a follow-on of shareholders and investors who invest in us and in our collaborations and our efforts. So it's not a concern about raising money. It's more whom we would like to have involved with us through this next phase of exploration and discovery.
So you have how many, if you can walk us through the share structure a bit, outstanding options and warrants, and if you have any implications, concerns over that?
No concerns, because that's our solid shareholder base that own those. We have 98 million shares outstanding. There's about 21 million warrants outstanding, which bring another $3.8 million approximately in cash into treasury. We may or may not talk to our warrant holders and have an exercise of those going into this drill program, or we may not. We may, even do some form of strategic alignment. Really, I don't think it's the right timing for a strategic, but if there was a big premium paid for someone wanting to assist in us exploring this to its fullest extent. Look, I'll take a step back again, Stephen, just talking to that drill program and the intent of it. The proof of concept is going to come very early on, we believe. And a proof of concept here is going to have a massive valuation effect on this company. So I think capital is going to get cheaper for us. So clearly, we don't want to do unnecessary dilution here. But it's some of it's warranted, of course. And again, when you're bringing in other strong shareholders and increasing the exposure of the company and increasing the momentum of the company, it sometimes makes sense. So I don't mean to skirt your question. I'm literally,
So I mean, I was looking at it and going, you're a founder. It's
Yes.
very tight share structure, well done. The options warrants is it's good. The insiders institutions is, I said 12 to 15%. If you can give me the numbers on that,
Oh,
and then
much
you also.
higher. Much higher. Insiders and institutions would equate to almost half of the company.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow. And Michael Gentile
And then
is the biggest shareholder?
Mike, no, I'm the largest shareholder in the company. Michael Gentile is close behind, and then we have other significant shareholders who are, probably not known by your marketplace, but certainly well known to me. So there's pretty much not a large shareholder in this company that I don't have direct phone access to and that I don't update regularly.
Okay, and then you're connected, well connected with everybody in your registry.
Yes.
All right. Well, if you can just tell me about you, Luke, you come with a lot of experience. If you can tell my audience just kind of what kind of background you have and the people you have around you to ensure that the projects are going to be successful.
Course. So I come from a capital markets background originally. Around 99, 2000, I started working for a firm in Canada called Canaccord Capital. I worked for them for about 5 years, just purely financing junior mining companies. I mean, everything from pre-development, development, all the way down to pure grassroots exploration, which, we are grassroots slash, I think, brownfields, given the location of Central, for example. My background, 5 years of financing these juniors, and one big thing that resonated with me through that process is the more companies we financed, the more I realized there was a lack of quality management. So you can raise a great project money, but if you don't have the management team behind it to actually really manage that, manage the capital markets, and execute on their promises, then it's wasted money. And there is a lot of that in this industry. So in 2005, I set forth to leave the banking side of the sector and get onto the management side. Very early on, I started a company with my then business partner, John Ord. It was called Gold Standard Ventures. It was a huge success in Nevada, a Carlin Trend-based exploration portfolio that led to an accretion from about 18 million Canadian to almost a billion Canadian through the exploration cycle, that Lassonde curve, the exciting part that we're in right now as a company. And then I went on to finance a myriad of different junior Nevada explorers because Nevada became kind of my bailiwick. I currently am also the chairman of a gold company, NASDAQ listed, called US Gold Corp. We're developing or going into the development stage now of a gold and copper project just outside of Cheyenne, Wyoming. So yeah, I've had a long storied history in this sector. I know all the right people from an investment perspective, and I'm kind of translating all of that knowledge and history into Leviathan.
Luke, I'm excited to learn more about Leviathan, meet you in person in the Atlanta conference. For my listeners, Luke and Leviathan have not paid for this interview. I'm reaching out to learn more about Leviathan. Although that may change, I may become an investor as I learn more about the company. There are certainly things to like here. If you guys can do your own due diligence and reach out to Luke if you have any questions. Luke, how do people reach out to you? How do people follow your story? How do they people find you on where you're trading? If you can give that to us one more time.
Yes, of course. So LVX on the Toronto Stock Exchange, on the Venture Exchange, of course. Leviathanmetals.com, our website. If you visit that, there is a connect button there. You can reach out to us, join our mailing list, etc. If you want to reach out to me directly, you can do so through our info at, and that'll be directed to me, and I'm happy to respond, answer questions, and always happy to talk. So we understand our shareholders. We understand the fact because we are very aligned. We're all equity investors in this company, and our intent is to increase the value of that equity, through smart business practices. So, please reach out, and look, Steve, we'd love to have you as a shareholder too.
So once again, I believe it's the OTC, the LVXFF, correct?
Correct. In the US, thank you. Yeah, LVXFF in the US. We're OTC QX listed, I believe, or QB, I apologize. But yeah, you can access us, of course, in the US through that.
All right, everybody, thanks so much. Everyone, stay smart, stay curious, stay disciplined. Luke, thank you so much for your time and telling us about Leviathan. Look forward
Thank
to
you,
following your
Stephen.
story.
Thank you.